thank God for the warning of the Holy Spirit that God gave us last year. 2020, they're going to be talking about vision. They're going to be talking about all sorts of stuff. He said, but there's going to be a lot of deception out there. He said, tell your people that 2020 is the year of pressing. We've got to press in. Can I encourage you today? Press into your Christmas. Praise God forevermore. Merry Christmas, everyone. I just want to share a real quick word with you. I'm sure you're all busy at home preparing turkey and duck and goose and whatever else you can catch or shoot in your neighborhood. We thank God for the Christmas season. I loved what Pastor Tim was preaching last Sunday. I felt Christmassy for the first time this year when I heard his message. And I just thank God for the great gifts we have in the house. Praise Jesus. Let's pray right now. Father, Lord God, we dedicate this day to you. We thank you so much for those of us who could make it, Lord, to this day with family, with friends, Lord, in our social distanced situations. Father, I thank you for those watching us online today who may be on their own. Lord God, your word says that you put the lonely in families. Father, we just let the outstretched arms of Jesus embrace them, Lord God, this morning. We thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for the way that you are with us, Lord, in all our circumstances. We give you praise and honor and glory, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. I want to share with you today just a real quick word about what I've called Christmas killers. There are things that try to squash out the joy of this season. Things like political correctness, things like having to dodge lockdowns and different tiers and all sorts of stuff. There might be strife in your family. Some of you who are meeting with family members that you try to avoid for the rest of the year. There's all kinds of stuff going on, but it's really, really important that we give this season to the Lord. And I just want to share with you a couple of things. The first Christmas killer that we have to deal with a lot of the time is circumstances. Circumstances. It might be stuff that you're dealing with at home. It might be that you are on your own. It might be that there's been an argument or you didn't get what you wanted. You know, you got two odd socks instead of a pair or something like that. There's always, or you forgot, like for me, I love cooking. So if one year I forgot brandy butter and it's like my world was temporarily falling apart because I forgot brandy butter. I mean, imagine. And then I kind of came to my senses and I got with it. And thank God the rest is history. No one even noticed. Circumstances. If you look at in Scripture, in the book of, let's have a look. Matthew. Let's look at Luke. There's Matthew and Luke give two great accounts of what is happening to this wonderful lady by the name of Mary. There's a lot of myths surrounding Mary. They say that she was a teenager because they couldn't find any virgins in the Middle East at that time. Ha, ha, ha. But that's a myth, a real myth. The Bible doesn't tell us how old she was, but, you know, you're not going to go to your cousin who's over 50 unless you're somewhere around a decent age yourself, because otherwise you've got nothing in common with them. But anyway, let's look at Luke chapter 2 and verse number 7. And she, that's Mary, gave birth to her firstborn son. That's interesting. So if he was the firstborn, then chances are there were brothers and sisters to follow. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in a manger. Now, most people don't know what a manger is. It's a trough. It's a feeding trough. It's the kind of thing, if you've got a stable and your horse has just come back from ploughing the field or whatever, you bung some hay in the trough and he eats the hay. So talk about humble circumstances. It would be like being born in a manger. In this day and age, would be like being born in a garage. You imagine you go to a hotel and there's no rooms or anything like that. And they say, do you know what? Our garage, it's a nice garage. We've had nice cars in there, etc. And you're going to go there. You're going to end up there. And that's what it would be like. Can you imagine the beginning of your days, your firstborn son being born in a garage or a garage, as they say in the US? It's quite remarkable. And this is the kind of circumstance that the first Christmas was had to be overcome. Just the humility of it, the absolute humility of it, being born in a trough. Where were you born? Oh, I was born in Watford General, or I was born in, I don't know, UCL, or the Whittington, or Northwick Park, or somewhere like that. Well, where were you born? Well, I was born in a garage in Bethlehem. Doesn't sound all that great, does it, for the King of Kings? Circumstances. May you overcome every circumstance arrayed against your Christmas in the name of Jesus. There's a lot to overcome this year. Thank God for the warning of the Holy Spirit that he gave us last time. Circumstances. There's another thing that we have to overcome sometimes. Doctrine. There's plenty of Christian doctrine concerning Christmas. That a lot of it is tradition, a lot of it is just downright nonsense. In fact, the fact that we celebrate Christmas Day as the 25th of December in itself is a strange kind of day to pick, because the Bible says that the shepherds were out in the fields. In fact, let's have a look, in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10, the angels appeared to shepherds. Now look at what it says. In verse 8, it says, in the same region, so that's in between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields. Now, in the Israeli winter can be very harsh, and shepherds won't be out in that kind of weather, because you can have storms blow in and all sorts of stuff. The shepherds are out usually in springtime fattening up the lambs so that they can be sold for slaughter in the temple at the Passover, so that they can be sold to families, etc. And so chances are the 25th of December wasn't Jesus's real birthday at all. But who cares? It's Jesus's official birthday. Like the Queen has an official birthday and she has an actual birthday. This we appointed Christmas Day to be the 25th of December. So let's celebrate. Let's celebrate the birth of our Savior. There are whole movements and cults and false religions that speak against the whole tradition of Christmas. And I honestly believe with all my heart, because they don't like the name of Jesus being sung in our supermarkets. I absolutely love it. When I hear Christmas carols in our supermarkets, I usually spend more. So thank God for Sainsbury's. I don't know about other supermarkets, but they specifically play carols at Christmas time. And I thank God for other supermarkets that follow suit. Praise God. If you're listening, then you can thank me later. Praise Jesus forevermore. So don't allow doctrine to kill your Christmas. Enjoy it. There's some people, they say, oh, I would never have a Christmas tree in my house because it's a paganism, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Dry up. We're not worshipping a tree. In fact, we're not even like worshipping around a tree. It's just there. Is there. It's a nice reminder of the season that we're in. Jesus, the tree of life. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Things like tinsel and decorations, some people get all up in arms. Bury that stuff. Enjoy your Christmas. Don't allow doctrine to kill your Christmas. Enjoy it. Open your heart to the season where we celebrate our Messiah, our Christ. Praise God. There's all sorts of things in the Bible that are misunderstood about Christmas. I want to share another one, one of my favorite ones, concerning the wise men. Now, another joke that people used to tell in the olden days was that, you know, why was there three wise men? And it's because they couldn't find any more wise people in the Middle East. Again, right? Absolute nonsense. The Bible doesn't say that there were three wise men. In fact, if you've got a Bible, you can refer to this really quickly. Matthew chapter 2 and verse number, let's have a look, 1. The Bible says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem." Now, can I stop there for a second? I want to share something with you. There is a community, a Jewish community, ancient one, in Pakistan and in Iran. A lot of people don't realize about how much of the Bible actually happened in Iran. Susa is in modern-day Iran. The tomb of Daniel is in modern-day Iran. And between that area and the Hindu Kush, there was all sorts of communities, Jewish communities, all the way through that particular streak of land. Now, they were coming to find the king of the Jews so that they could worship him. So chances are they themselves were Jews. And they would have been called magi because that would have been, they would have been rulers and community leaders, right? So look at what happens in verse number two talks about where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Because we saw his star. So this is the wise men. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And the Bible says, "And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Now, this was the before the days of Snapchat and Instagram and all that kind of stuff, right? News got around by mouth. Three people entering a city, nobody would notice. This was a massive entourage of people that probably started as a small group who looked at the heavens and saw the star and then followed through and started to just gather momentum. The thing will have gathered momentum to the extent that when they entered Jerusalem, the Bible says that all of Jerusalem was in upheaval along with Herod because there was some competition for the kingship. Herod was a self-appointed king. Jesus was the God-appointed king, and he was about to dethrone Herod and the entire world system that represented. And this is what was really stirring in Herod's mind. So by royal decree, he said, "Listen, you guys come back. I want to know where this guy is because I want to worship him too." What was that? Deception. How many of you've seen a lot of deception this year? Thank God for the warning of the Holy Spirit that God gave us last year. 2020, they're going to be talking about vision. They're going to be talking about all sorts of stuff. He said, but there's going to be a lot of deception out there. He said, tell your people that 2020 is the year of pressing. We've got to press in. Can I encourage you today? Press into your Christmas. Enjoy it. Doesn't matter if you burnt the turkey. Doesn't matter if you forgot the potatoes. Doesn't matter if your parsnips ended up like curly hair or whatever. Doesn't matter. Enjoy it. I just pray you're not watching this from an airport or a ferry lounge or something because your plane or boat didn't show up to wherever you're going or coming from. But even if you are, you know what? Just isolate yourself right now and determine in your heart that you're going to enjoy this season where the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, was born. It's really, really important to celebrate. So we won't allow circumstances. We won't allow doctrine. And thirdly, for any of you watching this on your own, we won't allow loneliness to dictate to us. Can I encourage you today? You're not alone. You are not alone. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is as close as your next breath. hallelujah to Jesus forever. And he was born in that trough. He was born in that garage, an animal garage. He was born so that he could live, suffer, die, be raised from the dead, so that he could be as close as your very next breath. Could we pray together? I just want to close this message and I just want us to pray together. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, every Christmas killer that is trying to raise its head against us, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we just lay those things aside. Whether it be a mindset, we may have lost somebody very close to us this year, and our Christmas may not be the same. But Lord, we purpose in our hearts. We decide that this day is holy to you. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this Christmas season. Thank you for this beautiful day that we celebrate, the 25th day of the month of December in the year 2020. We give glory to your name, Jesus. Let your banner be raised, let your glory be seen, and let your Christmas joy be on every house, every home, and every watcher. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.